Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Invite your attention to the book of Isaiah. Seems like of late I've been preaching quite a bit from the book of Isaiah. I guess that's a result of recently reading through this book and contemplating some of these passages of Scripture again and afresh. But there's so many rich things that can be found in the prophet Isaiah's writings. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 41. Tonight, Brother Hal from Porter, Texas, the assistant pastor in Porter, Texas, will be with us in service. And I would like everybody, I know some drive quite a distance and maybe only make it here on Sunday morning, but I would like for you to make an effort to be here tonight for this service. Brother Howell's a very good man, has assisted there in Porter, I think, for well over 25 years, been a help to Brother Green, who is my pastor, and just been a blessing to that local church and someone that I've wanted to come and be with us at some point, and it just worked out that tonight would be the night. Amen. So we'll come for this special service tonight, 6 o'clock prayer, 6:30 service. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 3, he pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Notice that. Even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. I simply want to preach this morning with the Lord's help and anointing. Find a way. Find a way. Praise the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord would bless in the continuation of this service and his hand of anointing would be upon us, both as the preacher and as you, as the listener. I pray that God would have his way. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, I'm asking you to move and work. Let your perfect will be done. I'm praying, God, that you would touch the hearts of people and strengthen them here this morning through the word of the Lord. Pray that faith and encouragement and strength would be here today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. And the church said, amen. Why don't you clap your hands one more time to the Lord? Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. It's been said that duct tape is a handyman's secret weapon. It belongs in every toolbox. I simply think it's one of the wonders of the world. In 1970, the Apollo 13 mission experienced a very frightening accident when the command module that they were riding in had some electrical difficulties that led to them having to evacuate the command module and go into a different module and use it virtually as a lifeboat. The only problem was is there was no filter in the module that they was in to filter out the carbon dioxide that they were exhaling, which is very dangerous, especially in confined spaces. If it's not able to dissipate, if it's not able to be scrubbed and filtered, then it becomes poisonous to our bodies. We breathe in oxygen and then we exhale carbon dioxide. And as it stood, they had time enough for two men for 2 days to survive, and they needed three men, and they needed to survive. They needed enough for three men to survive for 4 days until they could make reentry and splash down into the ocean here on Earth. And there was a team of scientists back at NASA that was in communication with these astronauts and that were on board Apollo 13. And They were communicating with them, talking through the difficulties. They knew they only had hours to live, and they asked them to search through the module that they were in to find materials that might be used to create a filter. Don Arabian, who was the leader of this group of engineers, made a statement to his crew that he was working with that were putting their heads together to tell them what to do so that they could survive. He made this statement. And I read a little bit about this man, and I found that he was a very strong personality. He did not waver. He was someone that was very intelligent and someone that was relentless and would not easily give up. And he made this statement. He said, "Find a way to make this filter work and do it fast." And so using the materials that were available to them, a hose from an unused astronaut suit, a plastic bag, a cardboard, a piece of cardboard from a logbook, and some duct tape, they was able to make and devise a makeshift filter. And I think I've got a picture of it for you here today. This is what they use to survive. It isn't pretty. It's crude, but it worked. And they survived and made reentry back to the earth. Though you and I have never faced a situation exactly like this, I'm sure, we've all come to similar crossroads in our lives where we could have succumbed to the pressure. We could have given in to the adverse situations and stresses of life. But we found a way. And we could have crawled up in a corner and chose to die, but instead we found a way. Sometimes it's not the conventional method. Sometimes it's not the preferred way. It's not the usual way. It's not even the recommended way. But we sometimes have to go to extremes. We have to do things that or outside the box, do things that we've never done before. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. But we know that if we will keep on endeavoring, keep on trying, that we can find a way. It may be radical, but the results are worth it. The Bible tells us a story about David in 2 Samuel, how that he came to the city of Jebus, it would be later called the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. And the king of the Jebusites had made this decree. He was so comfortable within the confines of this city because the city of Jerusalem had great walls that were around it. Also, it was high up on a hill. It could see its enemies coming from a long distance. And the king of the Jebusites made this declaration. He said even the lame and the blind would be able to defend this city. But David realized that every city has to have a water shaft. It has to have a gutter. Has to have a way for water to come in, and it has to have a way for the water that is used to go out. And so he said to his group of men, he said, "For the one that finds a way, that climbs up through the gutters and conquers this city," he said, "I will make you a captain of the host of my army." And ladies and gentlemen, this is where Joab became the captain. This is where he was promoted to be the leader of David's army. He knew that there was a way to conquer this city. He knew that there was a way to obtain victory. There's a way to overcome, and I just have to find that way. Some of you in this place may be staring at walls and obstacles and formidable foes and wonder and scratch your head and say, "How in the world am I going to make it through?" But the Bible tells us today that there's a way that our foot has not trod. There is a way that we can make it if we'll just be persistent, if we'll just keep desiring, if we'll just stay hungry, if we'll just continue to do the will and the work of God. God will make a way for us. Can somebody say amen? The devil may have tried to tell you that you'll have to just live with things as they are. Live with your addiction. Learn to survive with the scars of past defeats. Get by with just what you've got. Just learn how to scratch out an existence. But I've come to preach to you that if God can help David find a way through the gutter system to conquer a city and to bring victory to the people of God, he can help you this morning. He can bless you today. He can help each one of us in this house to overcome. He can help each one of us in this house to conquer. We don't have to succumb. We don't have to accept defeat. We don't have to just get by. Our existence walking with God doesn't have to be one of survival. But we can find a way to be victorious. You say, well, I've tried my usual method. I've went through the normal steps. I've followed the normal procedure and operation that I've followed before. And it seems like to no avail. This is a bigger problem than I've ever faced. This is a bigger issue than I've ever encountered. This is a greater situation than I've ever come up against. But can I preach to you this morning that if you'll be persistent and if you'll not give up, God will give you victory. God will show you a way. God will help you. I said, God will help you. I've got a God that is an ever-present help, the Bible said, in the time of need. He's not going to fail us when we need him the most. He's not going to walk away from us when we desperately desire his help and assistance in our life. Oh, somebody lift up your hands and let's praise the Lord here this morning. You got to find a way. Cliche was coined that necessity is the mother of all invention. And it really is extraordinary when you think about it. All of the things that man has been able to achieve and find a way to make it work when it seemed like it was impossible. I mean, even this example this morning, to go into outer space, to visit the moon. Now they're talking about visiting other planets and going to other regions beyond. And it's amazing the feats that mankind has been able to accomplish, that God put this gift within man and God gave him the ability to do these things is astonishing. And it's amazing, you know, to survive, to climb to the peak of Mount Everest. And for years, men attempted this and could not achieve it. And then finally, there was one by the name of Edmund Hillary that was able to go to the summit of Mount Everest. And after that, there's been literally hundreds of people that have achieved that feat. And it's amazing that people can survive in harsh climates. They can survive in the frigid cold. They can survive in the arid desert, and they find a way to do this. They perform seemingly impossible feats. But this is not something that just stops with the physical. This is not the only place that finding a way is necessary sometimes. It doesn't stop with the natural, but it can be used in the spiritual also. Can somebody say praise the Lord? If you want to live for God, you can find a way. I said, if you really desire to serve the Lord, you can find a way. You've come too late to tell me that it's too hard to live for God in our world. That the challenges are too great today for anybody to live righteously, for anybody to live pure, for anybody to be what they need to be for God and to serve the Lord and really a lifetime be dedicated unto God. That's impossible. It cannot be done. You've come too late to tell me that. I believe that God has made a way for each one of us. Oh, it's not the way of the flesh. It's not the way of man. It's not the way that everybody else in the world is going. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. There is a way that the world is going that leads to death. It leads to destruction, but there's a way that leads to eternal life. There is a way that leads, amen, to blessing. There is a way that leads to abundant life. There is a way that leads to victory. Amen. There's a way that leads to fresh anointing when you need it. There's a way that leads to deliverance when you need it. There's a way that leads to healing when you need it. I'm preaching to somebody, this is no time to give up. This is no time to hoist a white flag. This is no time to quit. This is no time to cash in. There's a time for you to find a way. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to walk streets of gold. I'm going to go to heaven. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to find a way to do it. Sometimes we excuse ourselves and say, that's for them, and that's that individual, and that's that person, and that's their skill set, and that's their talents, and that's their abilities, and that's their personality. I could never do that. I could never be that. I could never achieve that. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not worthy. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't make it. Don't let the devil ever tell you that you can't be saved. Don't let the devil ever tell you that you can't receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't let the devil tell you that it's too hard to live for God. Don't let the devil tell you that it's too challenging to serve the Lord. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It's the way of the transgressor that is hard. But when you live in this way, when you live for God, when you serve the Lord, that's the blessed life. Amen. That's the abundant life. That's the good life, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can find a way. Somebody says, well, my parents don't support me living for God. I can tell you testimony after testimony where they found a way to live for God. I go to a school where there's sin and there's total problems and is consumed with all kinds of immorality and godlessness, and I'm the only one. I'm going to tell you, you can find a way to live for God. You can live pure. You can live righteously. Everybody else may be fornicating, but you don't have to be a fornicator. Everybody else may be living in adultery, but you may not. You don't have to live in adultery. Amen. Everybody else may be falling into the temptations of this life, but you don't have to fall in. Everybody else may be doing drugs, but you don't have to do drugs. Everybody else may be getting drunk, but you don't have to get drunk. Amen. That's the way of the world. Everybody's doing that. Anybody can fall to that. Anybody can go along with the crowd. But it takes a real man. It takes a real woman to serve God. It takes a real person that's got some guts to live for the Lord and find a way to serve God. That's right. That's right. Praise the Lord. And to live righteously and be untainted in this world, to some seems like an impossibility, but you can find a way. I've told the story, but I want to rehearse it again here this morning. I remember meeting this young man many years ago. His name is Tom, and he received the Holy Ghost initially in the state of Alabama. His daddy was a denominational preacher that preached that the Holy Ghost was not for us today. That was only for the Book of Acts church. That was only as a witness to begin the church, as some still believe. And it just simply was not something that was available to us today. He said, as a young boy growing up, this was the teaching and the preaching of our church, and this is what I had learned. And he said, I had seen a flyer or something, that there was a Pentecostal camp meeting that was going on in our area. And so I asked a friend if he would like to go along with me. He said, I was just 15 years old. And he said, my daddy reluctantly took us, but he didn't feel like there was any worry because we were basically just going to look and to observe and Our heart really wasn't in it to go to hear anything from God, or we didn't feel like there was anything that we could receive from it. We had never experienced a Pentecostal church service, and so we wanted to go. How many people have ended up being Pentecostals that came to their first service with that attitude? Because there's something magnetic about the presence of God. There's something powerful about the presence of the Lord. There's something that draws you in. Amen. I went to a meeting one night and my soul wasn't right, but something got a hold of me, the songwriter said. I'm going to tell you, you can come and your mind can be a million miles away and your heart cannot be in it. But when you get in the presence of the Lord, there's something that you identify with. There's something that you say, you know, there's something about this that I've been looking for and I've been searching for and I'm hungry for. So he went and he sat down in the metal chairs that were there and he said, the preacher preached, and I mean he preached. He said, man, he was wiping sweat and his veins on his neck were bulged out and his face was red and he was stomping and running across the platform and he was preaching. He said, I'd never seen anything. I'd basically been exposed to lecture-type preaching and just standing behind the pulpit and all well and put together and no real anointing, no fervor. He said, I'd never seen anything like it. And the way the people responded and the worship that was going on, he said, my eyes as big as silver dollars as I was taking it all in, looking around, wondering what in the world. He said, at the end of his sermon, of course, he gave an altar call. And he said, people started flooding down towards the front. And I looked at my friend. I knew this was our cue to leave. And so my dad was going to be waiting on me out front. He said, I turned to get out in the aisle to leave. And when I did, he said, I come face to face with a man that was standing there on his way to the altar. And he looked at me and he said, son, you can't leave yet. He said, well, church is over. My dad is waiting. He said, No, you're not through with church yet. You haven't been down to the altar. He said, well, okay. And he said, I was just trying to be obedient. He said, I went down to the altar. He said, well, you know, all I'd ever been again around was just little pious prayers. And so I got down and got my hands out in front of me and knelt down in one of those folding chairs. And I was praying, and he said, you know, about 3 seconds is all I need. That's all I knew. And after just a few seconds, he said, I got up and began to dust myself off and thought, well, at least it'll satisfy this man, and I can leave now. And he said, my friend was already gone. I was down there by myself. And he said, I started to walk away. And he said, there was this little gray-headed woman that had a bun on top of her head that come over there, put her hands on my shirt, and said, son, what are you doing? You can't leave. You hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet. He said, what in the world is going on? He said, I've always been taught, miss, that the Holy Ghost is not for us today. I've never gotten the Holy Ghost. I don't even know how to receive the Holy Ghost. How do I get it? If it's for me, how do I receive it? She said, you see that chair right there? Drag it up here. I want you to sit down there in that chair, and I want you to repent of your sins. And he said, I was only 15, he said, but I thought of everything I could think of, and I repented of it, asked God to forgive me. And she said, after you get done repenting of your sins, and I'm going to pray for you. And after he looked up, after repenting of his sins and gave her the nod that he had done so, she reached down with her little feeble hands and she began to pray for him. He said, man, she got a hold of my head and she began to shake me 7 ways from Sunday. My hair was going every which direction and she was praying for me and she was praying fervently. And she said, as you begin to praise the Lord, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. He said, it wasn't just a few minutes that I was speaking in a heavenly language as the Spirit of the Lord gave me the utterance. I'm telling you, folks, this Holy Ghost is real. I said, God is still pouring it out, and it's still available. I don't care what the denominational world says. I don't care. What I want to know is what's God's Word got to say about it. And it said, for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. My
Bible says this promise is unto you and your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Said the only thing I could think about, he said, I don't know how much time lapsed, me talking in tongues and them praying for me, but the only thing I could think about when I finally come to is my daddy is out there and he don't believe in any of this, and how am I going to explain this? And man, I look a sight. I went in all prim and proper. Now my shirt tails out, my hair is messed up, I'm sweated down. What am I going to say? And my friend's been out there waiting in the car all of this time. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just slide in the back seat, and I'll avoid all the questions, and I'll be quiet, and maybe I can get by. He said, I slid in the back seat of that car, and he said, immediately my dad's gaze caught mine in the rearview mirror. And he said, Tom, you got the Holy Ghost tonight, didn't you? And he said, yes, sir. I did. And he began to explain to him all over again why they didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, why it wasn't for them, and why you couldn't receive it today. And he said, furthermore, I'm going to tell you right now, I want to tell you to not say one word to any church member of our church. I don't want you to tell anybody what's happened tonight. I don't want you to tell anyone what's been going on, that you came here, what you say you got, any of that. He said, I want you to keep it to yourself. Do you hear me? But you know, when you receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, you can't keep it to yourself. I said, when you really get this experience in God, you can't hold it back. You want to tell somebody. You want to express it to someone that the Lord is able to fill people with the Holy Ghost and change their life.
He said, man, I made it the rest of the night, but the next morning, he said, or that following Sunday, whatever it was maybe a day or two, and he said, we got there on Sunday morning, and he said, I was a little early, and I walked into Sunday school class, and he said, my Sunday school teacher was the only one that was there, and she was fixing things in the room and preparing for the class that day, and he noticed that tears was running down her cheeks. He said, Mrs. So-and-so, he said, what's going on? I said, well, I could tell you about it. And she began to unload on this 15-year-old boy and tell him all of her problems. He said, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, he said, I don't know much about how to fix all these problems, but I do know that God is able to help you. And I received an experience this past Friday night that was awesome, called the Holy Ghost. And I believe the Holy Ghost would help you with all these situations that are going on in your life. And she said, you know, we've never taught the Holy Ghost here, Tom. We've been taught the Holy Ghost is not for us. I said, well, I've been taught that too, but I got it this last Friday night, and I can't deny that it's real. Well, how do I get the Holy Ghost? He said, well, let's drag up one of these folding chairs here. He said, you sit down there and repent, and I'm just going to do it like they did to me. I'm going to start praying for you, and it won't be long when you start worshiping God that you'll speak in tongues. You'll get the Holy Ghost. And she repented. And it wasn't long she started worshiping the Lord. He said, I just got my hands in her hair and started messing it up real good. And she got the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. Right there in the church that didn't believe you could get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, if you're hungry, you can find a way. If you're thirsty, you can find a way. If you want to live for God, you can find a way. Don't tell me about all your disappointments. Don't tell me about all the situations that are against you. If you're hungry for God, you can find a way.
So, this lady, the Sunday school teacher, Monday goes over to the organ player's house. And they get to talking over their coffee. And suddenly, this organ player just burst out in tears, talking about her problems, talking about the difficulties,
in her life. And she said, you know, I had some of these very same problems. But little Tom came into my classroom, and he told me about the Holy Ghost and told me how to get it, and I got it, and my life's been different. I can feel that load has been lifted. Well, you know, a pastor teaches against the Holy Ghost. And yeah, but I can't deny that it's real because I got it right there on Sunday morning with Brother Tom praying for me. And I said, well, how do you get it? I said, well, you got a dining room chair or something here? Drag it up and repent of your sins and then sit down there and I'm going to start praying for you and you get the Holy Ghost. And you know what she did? She got the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. The Holy Ghost began to break out in that church that didn't believe that you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because you can find a way. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Doesn't matter what you're facing. You can find a way to live for God. If you're hungry to live for God. And so, when all of this came to the pastor, he got his son Tom aside. He said, I'm just telling you. You have messing up my church. You're going against everything we've taught around here. But it's in the Bible, Dad. I don't care what you think. You're not no theologian. But I got an experience. And it's real. He said, from this day forward, as long as you live in this house, I don't want you talking about the Holy Ghost. I don't want you telling nobody else about the Holy Ghost. I don't want you praying about the Holy Ghost or talking in tongues around here. I don't want it. You understand? I don't want nothing to do with it. And he said for the next 3 years until he was the age of 18 that he would lie in his bed at night. He couldn't go to a camp meeting service anymore. He couldn't go to a Pentecostal church like what we're sitting in here this morning. He couldn't go and hear preaching and be encouraged and be renewed in a church service. But he said, I lay there in that bed, buried my head in the pillow so that my daddy and mama couldn't hear me in the middle of the night, and I let hot tears flow, and he said, I prayed, God, I want you to let me feel, I want you to let me experience just what I did on the old campgrounds. I want you to renew me, I want you to refresh me in the Holy Ghost. He said, I'd go out into the garage where my dad couldn't hear me. He said, I'd stand out there in the cold in the garage, and I'd pray until I felt the Spirit of the Lord come over me and begin to speak with tongues and was renewed. And for 3 years, that's how I lived for God. Because when you're hungry to live for God, you can find a way. When you desire to serve the Lord, you can find a way. When you got your mind made up, you can find a way. If you want to look for excuses, you'll find them. Amen. If you want to look for reasons not to, you'll find them. Amen. If you're looking for a way out, you'll always have one. Amen. But if you desire to live for God, you can find a way to live for God. Oh, somebody ought to praise the Lord here this morning. Somebody ought to give glory to God here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said later, he was asked to preach at a convention where his daddy was the leader of that particular area and group of men that were ministers, and he was asked to come and teach them about the Holy Ghost. After years of being rejected and living with that rejection, he was asked to come take the pulpit and preach, not as that denominational preacher would want him to preach, but as the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him to preach. And he began to preach about the Holy Ghost. He said, my father, who had rejected me for 15 years, I believe it was, or 16 years up to this point, and had nothing to do with me, walked up to that pulpit behind me after I got done with tears running down his face and said, I don't know about the Holy Ghost much. I don't know what Tom is talking about a whole lot, but whatever he's got, he said, I've watched him. I've looked at his life, and I want to learn more about it, and I would be open to receiving whatever it is that Tom has. I'm preaching to you that if you want to live for God, if you want to serve the Lord, if you want revival, church, you can find a way. somebody lift up their voice to the Lord and give Him praise right now. I remember many years ago hearing Brother Johnny Garrison, who was a missionary to Liberia, Africa. And he talked about a young lady that came. And she was just a young girl, and her daddy was a witch doctor. And, of course, he resisted anything about Pentecostalism, and he felt like that these missionaries coming into the village was taken away from his control of those people. And of course they were. People were being liberated. They were being delivered from that religion and that dead religion. And so this little girl came, just a young girl. She got the Holy Ghost, and she would walk, and I've seen them over there in Africa, walk for hours to get to church. She would walk the distance to get to church, and she would be in the church service, very faithful. And she would try to slip back in without her daddy knowing that she had been gone and that she had been to church. But one day he was waiting on her, and he had taken a cable off of a moped motorcycle, and he was waiting for her as she came up the drive, and he beat her within an inch of her life and said, "Don't you ever, ever go back to that Pentecostal church." And he had everybody in the family come by and spit on her. She lay there in her blood. And so she got right back up, cleaned herself off. Come church time again, she snuck off, went to church. And the missionary, Brother Garrison, asked her, said, "Well, do you want to come stay here? Or you want to?" "No, we'd understand if you can't come right now. We understand." He said, "I couldn't." It was horrific to look at her after she'd been beaten. There was bruises. He said there was hardly a place that you could put your finger on her. There wasn't a bruise or a mark or somewhere where this man had beaten her. She said, "No, I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep being faithful to God. And one of these days, my daddy's going to stand in this altar. And he's going to get the Holy Ghost. And he's going to live for God." And every time she'd come home, he'd find out about it, he'd beat her again. But it wasn't long. He realized he can't beat the Holy Ghost out of this young girl. Amen. You can't threaten this young girl and get her to quit. And he said, "Whatever she's got, I better go check it out and see what it is." And he went with a full intent of causing a disruption. But when he stepped in there and felt the presence of God, he said, "This is something like I've never felt before. This is more powerful than anything I've ever experienced." And he too received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because there was a young girl that said, "I'm not going to give up. I'm going to find a way to serve God. I'm going to find a way to be victorious. I'm going to find a way to live for the Lord." What about it, Jacob? You're younger. You're smaller. Tradition says you can't get it. You're disadvantaged in every sense. He said, "I'm going to find a way." Now, I'm not saying God was pleased with everything that he did, but God was pleased with one, and that was that he was hungry. He was pleased with his desire. His methods were not always right, but his desire could not be quenched. He said, "I'm going to find a way to get that blessing." An angel comes and visits him, and he grabs a hold of him. Said, "I'm not going to let go." Touches the hollow of his thigh and makes his hip joint where it's displaced and dislocated. And most of us would have given in because of the pain. But Jacob said, "I'm going to find a way to be blessed. I'm going to find a way to get this birthright. I'm going to find a way to get what I need from God." And throughout his life, when it was disadvantaged, when everything it seemed like was against him, this was a man that said, "We're going to find a way to get God to intervene in this situation." Would you stand with me right now? It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter how sinful society gets. I just have to believe that we can find a way to live for God. Find a way to live holy. I don't care how advanced technology becomes. I'm going to find a way to keep myself pure. I'm going to find a way that someday I'm going to walk streets of gold. I'm going to find a way that I'm going to make heaven. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Find a way. Find a way. Do whatever I must. Even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. I've never experienced it before. I've never done it like this before. But if this is what's necessary, I'm willing. Sometimes we can question, say, well, I'm not familiar with this, and I don't know about this, and I've never done this. I don't know if what they're preaching is really right. And I don't understand. Find a way. Find a way into the presence of God. Find a way into his glory. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody that'd like to come to this altar here this morning and say, God, I got some situations in my life, but I'm going to find a way to be victorious. I'm going to find a way to overcome. I'm going to find a way to serve you in this. I'm going to find a way to please you in this. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to get some grit, and I'm going to get some determination, and I'm going to let desire well up and manifest itself in my life. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not just going to sit idly by and let the devil just have a field day on my life. But God, I'm going to find a way to serve the Lord, please you. Would you come around and let's pray. Let's pray fervently. Let's pray that the Lord would help us. Let's find a place around this altar and talk to the Lord. We need his touch. We need the help and the grace of God. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Reach out to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can find a way. God, if you'll help me, if you'll anoint me, if you'll bless me today, I know, God, I can make it. Oh, if you reveal to me the path, I'll walk it. If you'll show me, God, I'll do it. Come on, men, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Ladies, let's.